Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Rex Chapman Show with my super dope, super sexy, super cool, super awesome, not really super strong co-host. Mr. Josh Hopkins.
I've been lifting. I've been working out.
You're I know you've got those weird muscles. They look good, but they're really weak.
That's actually pretty true. I'll take the look good. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be the people talk about being healthy. I'm like, I just want to be the most in shape corpse. I don't care about what's really good for you. I just want to look good. How's Brooklyn?
Brooklyn's good. Brooklyn's in the house.
Where Brooklyn at? Oh, right there.
Yeah, episode 32, buddy. The Jason Kidd episode.
Oh, that's your buddy, too. That's your buddy.
The Magic Johnson episode 32. Who else? You got anybody?
Kevin McHale.
Yeah, you know the first 32 that came to mind for football.
Who?
The Juice.
Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you OJ been raced 32. At 32?
I can't.
Carl Anthony Towns. And then
Big Cat.
At the our beloved University of Kentucky basketball program, Richie Farmer was a 32.
Richie Farmer. Yes. Yeah. That's legendary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our Richie.
Jim Brown. Louis, we're going. Never mind. Jeez.
I know. Yeah, so book club, you know, something we normally do this time every week is talk about what we
stuff we've read over the week. You got anything for me, Rex?
Yeah, no, I've been super busy. Well, I wasn't that busy for say 3 of the days of the 7 days last week, but on those days I found something else to do. So no, I haven't read anything. What about you, Josh?
Well, actually, just because of the business, you know, some friends want me to read their scripts.
Right.
And a real close friend wanted my opinion on the script. So I'm a good friend, even though I'm not a fan of reading. I didn't read it and told him it was awesome, though. So I didn't read anything, but I told him it was awesome. So
good.
Well, yeah, that's a good
book club.
That's been book club.
2 years ago today, Kobe Bryant passed away.
Yeah.
Still doesn't seem real.
His little girl, Gianna.
Gianna,
is that right?
Yep.
Where were you when that happened? That's one of those where were you moments.
Yeah. So 2 years ago today, Kobe passes away. And Tatum, middle daughter Tatum, our Tatum, my Tatum Chapman, she had never been to New York before. And we were in New York this day 2 years ago, walking into the Nike store. And, you know, get a message on my phone. And within a minute, the entire Nike store is just stunned. People have literally stopped in their tracks. Many people just sat down and strangers looking around at one another. Like, is this real? Where were you?
I had almost the opposite. It was really strange because I was on vacation and I was on a beach in Tulum, Mexico. And I get a text. And of course, we all know what happened. And and we all the same, like, no, this is the internet.
Yeah.
I got to see it verified. And then you see your not just a friend, like your alerts come up. And I just froze.
Yeah.
So I wanted to cry in disbelief. And then I'm on a beach in Mexico and people are walking around. I'm like, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Kobe just died and no one knew who
Nobody
he was.
Nobody knew. Gee.
I was like, what? And they were like, huh? I was like, Kobe. And, you know, Europeans a lot,
yeah,
a lot were there. And I was like, I would know if Ronaldo that was.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was almost pissed.
Mad.
Off.
Yeah. Like, right.
Kobe being Bryant.
Yeah.
You know, and
that is, it's one of those, you'll never forget where you were. I mean, it was that shocking, that shocking.
One of those where you're still stunned.
Yeah, it really is, because I think I've just tried to not think about it. You know, thinking about it too much just makes me sad. Makes me sad. And I don't like sad. I don't do sad well.
I love it. But, I like to.
Yeah, I know you do.
We got just a couple things I want to touch on real quick.
Okay, go.
It's such a strange year. And in the beginning, we all thought, basically, we thought the Nets Lakers would be the ultimate dream meetup. Of course, you're pulling for the Suns.
I'm a homer.
But as we approach the All-Star break, none of that looks like it's going to happen. It seems, you know, now as you reevaluate, if you had to pick two teams that were going to meet in the finals, who would it be, Rex?
Wow. You know, the Nets are still so talented, but KD being out, he'll probably be out a while, it looks like. And then, you know, the whole thing with Kyrie, they're so talented that I'm always going to give them a puncher's chance if they're able to get into the playoffs and with some kind of good health. That being said, Miami, I like more and more. Yeah. And I like Milwaukee. Two best teams in the league are out West, and they're the Suns and the Warriors.
Mm.
And the Warriors are scary. They're going to continue to get better as Clay gets back into more rhythm. They get Wiseman back. Scary. The Suns, man. You know, yes, I'm a homer, and I'm sure people have a tough time deciding whether I'm being a homer or
right.
And honestly, I don't really know. So, but my thought is that, you know, that team has been the best team and has won the most games going back to the start of the bubble. They went undefeated in the bubble. They had the best record last year. They got the best record this year. You know, and they're young, they have veterans, a good team. So, and then, you know, I think we'd be remiss to not talk about the Lakers. That
AD just came back.
AD came back last. They beat the Nets here last night. LeBron looks great, which should be scary for the rest of the league, because he's playing at such a high level at an older age. And carrying them with AD out and not getting the best Russ right now. So they're dangerous. If AD gets back to being really active, which he looked pretty good last night. I watched a little bit of that game. He looked, you know, so I often judge him by how fleshy he looks. When he's lean and his shoulders are, you know, kind of cut up, like, you know, he gives you a second and third effort, but when he's a little heavier and bigger, he's kind of a one effort guy. So they're scary. If he gets back to being Anthony Davis, look out.
Before we go in on our, I'm really excited about this, but before we go in on it, I just got to talk about our Kentucky Wildcats real fast.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, please.
Quite a gauntlet. They're in the middle of. They Saturday lost a good game, really good game, to Auburn, who's now number one and deservedly so, and just a bunch of dogs, it looks like. And maybe between him and Paolo, the best player in the country, Jabari looked every bit the pro in that game. You know, of course, Ty Washington went out with like 8 minutes to go or something in the first half, and Cats were up 8 or 9 or something. An Auburn one run was inevitable, tie or not. That moot point, the Kentucky lost that game. We lost. And then we came back and barely beat Mississippi State at home, minus Ty again.
Minus our best player again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Oscar would say something about it. Nick, our best offensive player, our best,
our best playmaker.
Yeah. 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 And then, travel to Kansas this weekend.
Yeah.
And Fog Allen. Now that it's quite a gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not over. What do you think about them so far? Do you see them as Final Four contenders?
I think Duke's really good, and I saw them play Duke in the first game of the season in New York, and I was surprised with how competitive we were in that game. Duke's player, Paolo and Keels, they're big and strong freshmen. We've got some guys that need some seasoning, and Ty, what he's done from that game to where he is now is unreal. We're not going to fare very well without Ty for very long. Oscar is probably the player of the year, Oscar Tshiebwe, in so college far. Basketball. What a great story. But yeah, I think that Kentucky's got a chance, you know, got a puncher's chance. The one thing I want to touch on here, I cannot get over Chris Mack and Louisville.
Wow.
I think Chris Mack is one of the finest basketball coaches that we've had in the game over the last 10, 15 years.
He was a slam dunk, considered a slam dunk hire at that point.
Yes. And that it has, and again, COVID, and, you know, we're not seeing the best college basketball right now, the best version of college basketball, so much inconsistency. But other, you know, Kentucky had an awful season last year. Duke had an awful season last year, but this is just it kind of blindsided me. I just wasn't expecting it. Were you at all?
No, I mean, I knew they were having problems. I knew, you know, then you can read between the lines with some things, but to think mid season that jumped right out at me like what?
Yeah.
And let's say just off the top of your head, you got anybody that would be a great Louisville hire?
Rick Pitino.
that would be something. Once again, you have judged correctly.
Yes. Rick, no. Kenny Payne. Kenny Payne. That's who it is. That's the coach of Kenny Payne, the assistant coach of the New York Knicks right now. You're going to have to pay him to get him there. But that's the guy. And immediately – Our rivalry, and thinking selfishly, when I say our Kentucky, immediately our rivalry is renewed in a pure basketball sense. It's just renewed. Kenny will get the best players there, second best to us, but he'll get the best players he can get at Louisville, and the rivalry will be back. So I'm hoping, if that's what Kenny wants to do, I'm hoping that he gets that opportunity, because he's one of the best. We know what kind of recruiter he is. Also, we know what kind of coach he is and what kind of teacher and what kind of man he is. And that's the kind of guy that University of Louisville needs, in my opinion.
That'd be so interesting, because when Rick went there, it ignited, you know, this vitriol.
Yes.
And we couldn't believe that Rick went to, you know, Louisville. But Kenny Payne is revered in Lexington. People weren't mad he went to the Knicks. He's revered and so well thought of. The dynamics of that rivalry would change so much. And yes, they would be back.
You're right about that. How he is beloved. The second that he starts recruiting a guy that's leaning our way, that goes out the window.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then right. he's Penny yep. with Memphis for us.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Who we got right. today, Mr. Rex?
Josh, I'm excited, man. We just want to get right into it. We've been a little long in the open, so let's get right to this. We have the legendary, iconic Rod Carew. Baseball Hall of Fame class of 1991, American League MVP, 7-time batting champ, 18-time All-Star, His number 29 is retired by both the Twins and the Angels and was enshrined in Twins and Angels Hall of Fame. We have today, Josh, Rodney Klein Carew.
Yeah. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to have you on. Spent a childhood watching you and following along, and this is a big thrill for me.
Can I send you a razor and some shaving cream?
You must have been talking mom. I'm going to have to go ahead and tell if Rod Carew, my mom, I didn't shave, but if Rod Carew tells me to shave, I will shave.
No, it looks good on you, though.
I appreciate it.
Oh, it's so good. Rod, how are you doing, man? This is so great. I was just telling Josh earlier, he said, do you know Rod? I said, no, I don't know Rod at all. I said, but about a year or so ago, he got on Twitter. And I saw that he was on there and, you know, he was one of our, you know, you were one of our heroes growing up. And I couldn't believe you were on Twitter. I was like, is this actually the Rod Carew? And then I think I tweeted at you or something. And here you are, you know, 60, how many thousand followers do you have now? A bunch, right?
A bunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in a short time.
Growing up, you know, how important was playing sports for you growing up? And was it your passion for baseball that made you want to play?
Well, you know, I played soccer. I played, I ran track. I played volleyball, basketball, you know, because in the small town where I lived, that's what kids died for, you know, to be in the gym or be out on the soccer field. And I was a decent soccer player. And then my uncle, who became the physical education guy at the school, he saw me play baseball and then he says, no more soccer.
That guy's got a good eye. And our listeners should know, this is in Panama.
Right. I quit soccer and then I started playing baseball. I started playing softball, fast pitch, with a league with the firemen. And I was only 13 years old. And I used to hit against my dad because he was a pitcher for another team. And he didn't like that. So I had to tell the guys, hey, when he pitches, I can't play.
So you were playing with bottle caps and broomsticks when you first started off, right?
Yeah, we made our own bats from broomsticks. And we all painted them, you know, with different guys' names on them and their numbers. Like my number one bat was Jackie Robinson and Ted Williams and Roy Campanella. You know, I looked for the good hitters to see if maybe I could learn something one day.
Then you became almost not arguably the best of all time. Did you ever see that in your future as a kid?
I knew I could hit, but I never thought for 1 minute that I would come to the big leagues one day and lead the league 7 times and, you know, get 3,000 hits. But I loved the game ever since I was seven years old.
At what age? You came over here, you're 14 years old, is that right?
I was 14 years old and I lived with my godmother because she's the one that brought me here, and she said, you've got to learn how to speak better English. So, you know, for the first 2 years I was in this country, I never played baseball. Unless I brought home good grades for my English classes. And then after that, my third year, she said, okay, you're bringing home good grades, your English is getting better. So if you want to play baseball, go ahead and play. And so my senior year, I went out to practice with my high school team. And my coach told me I wasn't good enough. So I says, okay. You know, I had a couple of buddies that played on a sandlot team in the Bronx. And they invited me to go out and try out with them. And saw a scout saw me and recommended me to the Twins. And then Mr. Griffith, they were in New York, the team was in New York, and he came out and saw me play a doubleheader, and I went 9 for 11. And then he told the scout, sign him. And
went 9 for 11.
Yeah. And so
could you always, you could always hit. I mean, it's one thing, you know, you just kind of said, and I got seen by a scout. I mean, he saw something. Did you just always have a natural swing? Obviously you worked at it, but it just looked so effortless.
Well, you know, I was more of a hand hitter. I really use my hands a lot and try to snap the head of the bat through the hitting zone. But yeah, ever since I was about 8 years old, I picked up a broomstick and there I went. And so what we used to do for baseballs is we will fill bottle caps with mud and then use those as our baseballs.
Wow.
So that's how it all started, you know, because the bottle caps didn't just come straight. You know, they had some bend and some break to them. And I did well.
The Rex Chapman Show is sponsored by Ticket Smarter. Ticket Smarter helps customers from all walks of life experience the power and excitement of live events by giving back through children's charities and creating helpful partnerships. $1 from every transaction will help our charitable partners, including St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, the V Foundation, Quarterbacking Children's Health Foundation, and Coach to Cure MD. Ticket Smarter is the official ticket resale partner of PBR, NJCAA, and over 35 collegiate conferences with 250 plus universities, including the Pac-12. While I'm here in Brooklyn, I could catch a Nets game or any of the concerts coming to the Barclays Center. Buying with Ticket Smarter is quick, easy, and 100% guaranteed tickets. Find tickets to more than 125,000 concerts, sports, and theater events. Order now.
Is that when you first started, even if you didn't know it then, Stuart, first started to see the gift you mentioned?
Yeah, and you know what mattered most to me is that I was playing with, I was 13 years old. I was playing with guys that were 20 and 25 years old, and I was still having success. So I said, thank you, God. This hits for you.
Hey, when you first came at 14 to New York from Panama, do you remember those first times, what impressed upon you early on when you first came to Manhattan?
You know, I always used to watch movies about this country. And I always used to see Rockefeller Center, and that's what I envisioned New York to be. And it wasn't as I dreamt as a kid, you know. But the thing is, you know, I stayed away from people. I was a loner, and my mom always taught me about staying out of trouble, and I did.
Well, that's not just a throwaway. I mean, you're here as a teenager, an early teenager. You had to, someone instilled a moral compass in you to not, you know, go astray, because especially if you're not playing, you know, the one thing that you really love, baseball.
Yeah, I had to hit the books, you know, and she made sure I also did that. And she was my biggest backer. You know, she's the one that took me to games and bought me all my baseball stuff. My dad did nothing. You know, all he did was beat on me as a kid. You know, I was an abused child. And I said to myself, when I grow up, if I have children, none of that's going to happen. You know, and he drank a lot, and he beat my mom a lot. But, you know, I got through it all. You know, she always told me, nothing's going to happen to you. God's in your pocket. And I believe that, you know, I believe the faith that I have in my friend upstairs, there's nothing that can compare that.
Thank you for sharing it. Do you have siblings?
Well, I had three sisters and a brother, and I'm the only one that's alive today. But I had a sister that ran track and one that played softball, and she was really good. My brother didn't play much sports, you know. He didn't want to compete with me because every time we did something, you know, I would make him look kind of bad, and he didn't like that. Here's his younger brother, you know, making him look bad on the basketball court or track or whatever it was.
I'm sorry.
I know we're going to get back to the baseball for sure. But since you're right there, you had heart replacement surgery a few years ago, which is.
Yeah, I had a triple. Well, I wasn't supposed to live. But the story goes that I was doing something at Angel Stadium for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And it was a walk around the stadium. And we had a whole lot of people that lost family members to these different blood diseases. And so I decided to get up the next morning and go play golf by myself. And I got up, I think, about 5 o'clock. My wife was still asleep. And I wanted to play by myself because I wasn't a good golfer. I just took it up after I was 50 years old. Wow. And I got 7 hole-in-ones. You know, I was I'm a military golfer, you know, left, right. But for some reason, you know, I enjoyed the game and, you know, I continued playing.
Fantastic.
And then you had a heart attack is that what happened on the golf?
On the golf course. You know, this buddy of mine had told me that anytime you feel something funny in your chest, go see the doctor right away. So on the first hole, I hit a drive, and it was the first time I'd hit a drive straight down the middle because usually it was left, right, yeah. You know, that military golf.
Yeah.
So I felt when I was putting my club back in my bag, my hands were kind of balmy, kind of, you know, clammy. And then I backed my card up, went to because I was on hole one and it was close to the clubhouse. And I walked in and I told the lady, I said, would you please call the paramedics for me?
Wow.
So she was on the phone. There's a 14-year-old kid there helping her get the place ready. So she was on the phone talking to her husband, who was a paramedic. And he started asking her questions about what I look like, check my hands and my mouth and all that stuff. They were starting to turn different colors.
Oh, man.
So I kind of laid down on the floor, propped my feet up, and kind of fell asleep. And I felt like I was asleep for like forever. But the paramedics were already there in like 3 minutes. And
wow.
They started working on me. And one of the guys was really upset because he said, you know, that they're losing me. And I died. And they brought me back.
Did you have any, that you hear about those experiences when you're dead, like afterlife or seeing yourself? Do you remember anything from that moment?
You know, what I remembered was my youngest daughter was, you know, she was six. She died of leukemia and she was 18 years old. And so we used to just lay in bed and do crossword puzzles. So one day she looked at me and she said, Dad, right over there in the corner, my guardian angel is he's got all these lights around him and he's praying. And I says, really? So then I started saying, well, you know, since she was in so much medication, I kind of took it as that was the cause. So when the second time that I felt like I lost it, here's this guy, one of the paramedics, he had a light that was going all across his body. And I said to myself, that's Michelle, you know, because I remembered seeing that with her and now it was happening to me, you know, so they lost
that's beautiful.
Me. They lost me and I came back and I owe my life to those guys because they made sure that they took care of me and got me to the hospital on time. And my wife was still at home asleep. And she knew nothing until she got a phone call.
Oh, my goodness.
She got a phone call and saying that they were taking me to this hospital in Riverside. And then my thinking again went back to God. My mother says he will always be in my back pocket. And there he was, you know, pulling me through. And my wife and I had planned on going to Italy. That because that's our vacation spot and she likes it and I likes it. I like it. And they said after a week in the hospital, they said, okay, you can go home now and you can continue doing what you were doing before.
Wow.
But make sure that you go and see a cardiologist before you leave. And the next 2 days, we made an appointment. We had a Monday or Thursday appointment. So I went to the first appointment and the doctor looked at me. He says, I don't like what I see. So he says, you're going to go back over to the emergency room and we're going to send you up to San Diego. Wow. And that was it. From there on, it was just crazy, you know, but the thing that my wife and I decided is that we're not going to say anything until, you know, I'm good and I'm ready to talk to the press and talk to people. Yeah. Because we wanted to explain everything instead of saying one story and to take it and make it another story.
Yeah, right.
So that's what we did.
Good. Good for you.
Man, and then eventually you had a heart replacement. Like a year later, correct?
No, I had kidney and heart at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah. Isn't there a story, you know, a connection between you and your heart donor?
Yeah. I met this little kid at my son's and daughter preschool. You know, and this little boy is playing outside and he comes up to me and he says, you're Rod Carew, aren't you? I says, yeah. I says, who are you? So he introduced himself. He says, I want to be an athlete when I grow up. And I says, good. I says, how are your grades in school? So I get pretty good grades. And we started talking and, you know, my son was on the basketball team and that's why I was at the school. And I said, okay, goodbye. Nice talking to you. So then, when we didn't find this out until later, but the same little boy that I met and talked to that day, 20 years later, I have his heart inside of me. And
wow.
He goes with me wherever I go. And, you know, it's some kind of a story, you know.
That's just amazing. I mean,
that is what that's a beautiful story. It's sad. I feel, you know, obviously awful for his family, but it seems like so it's one of those stories where you seem like there's some sort of design to this world.
Yeah.
I don't know what people say or what you believe, but there's some sort of design.
Yeah. And you know what? He grew up to be a football player.
Wow.
So he was waiting for a contract, I think, from the Patriots because he started with the Ravens and they let him go. And one day he was working out by himself at home at his condo and he felt a pop inside his head.
I'll be damned.
And he called his dad and his dad said, go to the hospital right away. But the irony of the story also is he had come home and he talks to his mom. He was going to fill out to get his driver's license. And he came to the part about being a donor. And his mom says, honey, you make that decision. And sure enough, he did. And that's why I'm here today.
I'll be darned.
Amazing.
Thank you for sharing that. That's wow. Amazing. What a treat for us. I mean, thank you, really. Let's get back to
Yeah, it's so hard to say now. Now back to baseball.
Back to baseball. No, back to baseball.
But we have to know about the best hitter ever's baseball career. So we have to go back. And thank God you're with us now. And that's an unbelievable story.
No question. When you were – so you had been scouted. Now you're playing with the Twins. You were an all-star and rookie of the year in your first season. Was it easier hitting in the big leagues than it was hitting tough. Bottle caps?
It was tough at first. And then, you know, back then they could take 28 players north. So I was one of three guys that if we weren't doing good at the end of a month, I was going to go to AAA and play for Billy Martin, who was the manager. And so I went, I think with 3 days to go, I think I went like 9-for-12. And the organization kept me. Mr. Griffith kept me because he had always said that I was going to be a second baseman and didn't send me out to the minor leagues at all. And that's where my career began.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is. Well, then, you were an all-star after your first season and then 18 straight more. Did you think, well, what do they call this game? It's pretty easy. I like it.
I wish it was that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, you made it look that way.
You did.
And back then when I first started, the players were the ones that nominate you to go to the All-Star game.
Oh, wow.
The fans weren't, you know, in on it then. And first, you know, 18, it's just amazing for me to, you know, here's this kid from Panama. And, you know, all he dreamt about was playing baseball in America. And I promised my mom that when I played in front of 50,000 people, that she's going to be there, and that's the way it happened. And she just kept telling me, keep your faith. Remember, God's in your pocket. Yeah. So
do you think that you were the most popular player in all of baseball just because you could hit?
Well, no, because, you know, I had a good rapport with the fans. You know, I used to talk to people and because I learned a lesson from Harmon Killebrew. Harmon always told me, he says, be nice. It doesn't cost anything to be nice. And so that's the way I carried myself through my career. And then I had Tony Oliva, who was my roommate for about 11 years. And we developed a friendship. You know, we used to watch each other hit and make comments. And then one day I decided I'm going to go get one of these little video cameras at a store and film him when he's hitting. And he could film me when I was hitting. And then we'd go back to the hotel and pull the sheets off the bed and tape them up. And that's how we used our little video camera.
That's amazing.
That's so forward thinking.
It sure is. I mean, it's you know, I remember for Josh and I, who grew up, you know, we're both Kentuckians, but growing up in the 80s, I remember in high school, late high school, having film sessions. It was like, what is this? But we had, you know, all of a sudden there was, everybody had video cameras. And right. so we could do that. But you're talking a couple decades earlier that you were doing this. That, I mean, that you guys were serious about it.
Yes, I was. And Tony was, you know, and then being roommates, we just, wherever one went, the other went.
The Rex Chapman Show, powered by Basketball News, is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. It's daily fantasy simplified. It's just you versus the projected numbers, Josh. You can pick from two up to five players and an over-under on their projected stats for a single game and win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, Josh.
I like the sound of this. I like the sound of this.
Well, Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries, offering every sport you can think of. Your Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. You can take the over on Ja Morant's points and the under on Anthony Davis's rebounds if you want. You can receive a match on your deposits up to $100 using our exclusive promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS for an instant 100% deposit match on up to $100.
So hold on, Prize that's Picks. Program code NEWS, N-E-W-S, like the news on TV?
That's promo code NEWS for an instant 100% deposit match on up to $100. Guess what else? What? Prize Picks has an award-winning, easy to use mobile app available in the App Store and Google Play.
Sweet. When you first got into the league, because you kind of had a, what they call now for sure, an unorthodox hitting style, you know, you were, they always say slap hit. He, like you referred to, and now it's actually more of a norm, and you actually became a coach and talked to a lot of people. Did they ever try and change your hitting style?
Yeah, my first before I signed and I played sign lot, I was more of a power hitter. And then after I signed, the hitting coach Jim Lemon tried to change my way of hitting because I was hitting a lot of balls to left field and I was getting base hits, and he wanted me to pull the ball more. And I said, well, you know, I'm doing fine, staying up the middle and left field. I says, if I get a pitch to pull on the hit and run or something, I'm going to make sure that I pull that pitch. So he never spoke to me again. You know, no, he didn't. He never spoke to me. He just said, okay, you're going to be your own hitting coach. Well, I says, I'm not the only one that's my hitting coach. My roomie can hit too, so I'm going to pick his brains, you know.
That's awesome. It is so incredible. You know, what was the greatest honor in 1977, winning the AL MVP or being rewarded with the Roberto Clemente Award?
Well, the first one is 1977, when I was hitting, you know, close to 400, and I played a game against the White Sox in September, and you know, I went 4-4-5 or something like that, and I drove in some runs, and every time I got a hit, I would get a standing ovation because people were thinking about the 400. And I didn't think about that at all because I, you know, I was being paid to hit. And that's just the way, you know, I did it. They said, you got two lines. They didn't tell me just to use one line. It says, go from left to right, right to left. And that's what I did my whole career.
Amazing. You know, and here you are now. They're people trying to tell you how to bat. And now the American League batting title trophy is the Rod Carew American League batting trophy. I mean, that's that. Just how about that? What was that phone call like when they told you they'd like to name that award after you?
I was like, wow. You know, I thought about Tony Gwynn and myself, you know, because we were really good friends and we used to talk about hitting a lot. So we were like mesmerized that they would do something like that.
And Tony was a heck of a basketball player. Tony was a heck
yes,
of a
he was. Basketball player. Yeah, he was. And he was a great human being.
Rod, you know, you brought up, we've been lucky, fortunate. We had arguably, maybe not arguably anymore, the greatest shooter ever. Stephen Curry was on last year. Now we have arguably the greatest hitter ever. You made such an interesting point that I kind of correlate to basketball a little bit. Stephen has taken some grief for, you know, ruining the game of basketball because now everybody wants to shoot three-pointers. You mentioned the launch angle, everybody trying to hit home runs. Well, the difference, though, is that you're getting 3 points for the three-pointer. It's more. You're still just getting 1 point at a time in baseball. You know, yeah. It's not two runs if you hit it over that wall. So I can only imagine that guys like yourself who grew up playing in a different era, just like, you know, I did with these right. guys now, there seems to be like the great hitters of today, if they bunted like you did, that just doesn't happen. But there's something so selfless about that and being on a team and just trying to win the game. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. It's different today. Guys are thinking about themselves more than thinking, you know, about the team. They're not giving themselves up more to move runners and get them into scoring position. Forget it. I'm going to be the hero today. Mm-hmm. That's all they think about. I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
You like music?
Yes, sir. Yes.
What's your favorite song?
Wow.
If you can think about it.
Bill Withers' Lovely Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I love Bill Withers, too.
Yeah, same. What about you, Josh?
Well, the one that jumps out with Rod Carew would be Sure Shot by the Beastie Boys.
Oh,
I've got more action to my man John Woo, and I've got mad hits like Rod Carew.
Rod Carew. Yeah.
That jumps out at me. You know, the first time someone said you're in a hip hop song, they talk about you. Where were you? What'd you think about that?
Well, you know, the guys asked me to come on stage with them when they were on Saturday Night Live, but I was headed someplace. I had an engagement to go to, and I told them that I couldn't make it, but I told them that I love the song, and thanks for getting my name in there.
You That's know? Amazing.
But my favorite song is the National Anthem. You know, Big Poppy and Dustin Pedro was talking one day by the batting cage, and they were talking music. And so they asked me what kind of music I like. I says, well, there's one song that I really love. And they said, well, what's that? And I said, the National Anthem. And they looked at me like I'm crazy, you know. I says, and they said, why? I said, because every time I hear that song, I knew I was going to get 2, 3, or 4 hits. And they just rolled out.
You just mentioned David Ortiz, which is interesting because he just was inducted or was accepted. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be inducted. And this is the PED, performance-enhancing drug time, and there's a lot of controversy about that. And Ortiz never, you know, officially tested positive. He's loved, got in, but a lot of guys this year, like Bonds and Clemens, it was their last year to even be nominated.
Yeah.
And I wonder what you think about that and the induction into Hall of Fame. What do you think about the PED asterisk?
Well, inductions, you know,
for lack of.
Those guys were already Hall of Famers, you know, and to do that, man, if I did that, my line drives might have carried further and they might have become outs, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't agree with what they did. And if I was to vote him in, I would say maybe not right now, but later on.
Right.
I think that they knew that they made a mistake by doing this. You know, look at Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To this day, he played his heart out and still did well during the series and stuff, and he's not in. So I don't know. You know,
do you feel like that with Pete Rose also?
I love Pete. Yeah. And I, you know, you've got to forgive some, you know, forgiveness is a great weapon. And I think that Pete has paid his price for what he did. And I'm sure that the other guys are going to go through the same thing, but they'll get in, you know, because, yeah, I think they will get in. I think the riders, new riders that are coming on into baseball now, these new guys are different than the old guys that followed the game and wrote about the game.
Right. So do you think in general they're kind of being treated unfairly by not getting in? Or you're just saying as society moves forward, we'll think of it differently and maybe we can revisit it?
Right. Gotcha. That's true. I think and that's what's going to happen. You know, I think you've got to learn to forgive.
Is and
that's what my friend in my back pocket used to say.
There you go. Yeah, because in a sense, it is based right now. Is the Baseball Hall of Fame accurately telling the history of the game by leaving out the all-time hit king, the home run leader, and the player with the most Cy Young?
Yeah,
Rose, and
I am really disappointed because. I was really looking forward to being on the stand when those guys got in before all the stuff that happened with them.
Right.
Gosh darn it. Rod, how important was it to give back to the game of baseball after your playing career? How'd you approach giving back, whether it was opening the Rod Carew Baseball School or becoming a manager?
Well, you know, I learned it in Minnesota. When I was with the Twins, we used to go out in the off season 4 or 5 times a week to a lot of small towns in the upper Midwest. I mean, we used to go to South Dakota in the dead of winter, you know, just to go to father-son banquets and visit schools and things like that. So the Twins had a caravan, which they still do today. So we learned a lot about, you know, being with people, treating people the way that they would want to be treated. We're no different because we're baseball players. You know, we're fathers. We have kids. And so I enjoyed it very much, and I still do today. Yesterday, my wife and I went to a practice for the 6 to 12-year-old kids.
Really?
And we had a great time. And when we were walking up, one of the kids yelled out, "The legend is here."
You know?
I said, "How do you know I'm a legend?" He says, "Well, we knew you were coming today, and we were given the assignment of looking you up on the internet."
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun.
That's
it was
amazing.
A lot of fun for us to do.
That's
and
so
then,
awesome.
And then we my wife and I started to leave, and it was cold. And then they were getting ready to start a game with the older kids. And I'm saying to myself, I'm freezing. How are they going to go through this? Does this feel like Minnesota days early in the spring? You know, but I really enjoy it. I've been involved with this Rod Carew Classic for pediatric cancer for 25 years. And I'm still doing it because it's to see the kids that don't have a chance realize their dreams and get cured. And they come back and they either play in a tournament or they do something, you know, because they knew what they went through and they knew that other kids are going through the same thing. So, you know, they pitched in and helped a lot.
Do you have a favorite player in today's game?
My most favorite player was Derek Jeter. Because I always tell kids, I says, or I'll ask him, I said, do you know who Derek Jeter is? And they said, yeah. I says, well, when you're playing, play the game like Derek Jeter. He runs, he hustles, no matter what. If he's going to be out, he still runs hard, run through the base, you know. So play the game like Derek Jeter. Because I was a huge fan of his, you know.
Right.
Watching this skinny kid come up and remind me of myself, you know.
Rod, there's so much I want to ask you about, but I also do want to touch on, you know, the last time Major League Baseball was on strike, you were managing the Angels. Can you spot any similarities between now and in 1994 with how the MLB and its players are struggling to make progress on a new deal?
Well, you know, I was a coach. I did manage the Angels, but I was the hitting coach for about 10 years. And when we went through the different strikes, it was always what the owners were trying to take from us that we had gained in, you know, on certain strikes and things like that. When it comes to the money, these guys are making so much money that, you know, it's unbelievable. And we set the way for them to be doing as well as they're doing today. So hopefully, you know, hopefully they'll come to terms, because my wife and I are sitting back here at home waiting to go to spring training. Because every year, you know, we go to spring training with the Twins.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
That's a love of the game for sure.
Yes, it is. It's a great time talking to the kids and asking them questions and, you know, hearing their response. And you try and impart some of your knowledge of the game, you know, to them.
Now, your son is your agent now, right?
Yeah.
Your son is your agent. Now, is he the one that got you on social media?
Yeah. Yeah, I was fantastic. Deep in the caves. I had my caves all set up and set out. That's where I spent my time. And then after he graduated, and the other guy, Frank Pace, and I were together from 1982 until this past December. So my son wasn't working because the company that he was with kind of went under. So I says, why don't you become my agent? He says, really? I said, yeah. So we can work together. And so he went into all those caves looking for me until he finally found me and dragged me out and said, we're going to do some stuff. I said, okay.
I'm glad he did. This is a treat. You know, I mean, can you imagine? All right. You grew up watching guys, right? Can you imagine? Josh and I are 50-ish, 55-ish. I'm 55-ish. Can you imagine being able to sit and talk to, you know, one of your heroes that, you know, you grew up watching? That's what we feel like right now.
Well, thank you. You know, that's what you. I felt like my first All-Star game in California. Here I am on the field with Ernie Banks and Willie Mays and the Mick, you know, and all these great guys. And I'm saying to myself, pinch me, you know, wake me up, you know.
That's right. That's right.
So I am happy that I've been able to put some joy into a lot of people's hearts, you know, and not all of us can be great, but I respect every person that has to get up and go to work and earn a living to, you know, to take care of his family, you know. Some of us can do it, being sports heroes and stuff, but those guys have to have a lot of tough times too. And so, you know, people used to talk about, oh, they're booing you and stuff. Doesn't matter. My wife used to boo me when I first came out to California, because I used to wear them out, you know.
Rod, all right. So real quick, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Secretariat.
Oh, Kentucky.
There we go. Listen, Kentucky, baby.
I have watched that movie about 100 times, and I still watch it. You know, my granddaughter, I had my first granddaughter. She's 4 years old, and that's her favorite movie. Papa, can we watch Secretariat? And I mean, I love the movie. I put some insight into that woman, that lady, and the horse had a connection.
Yes.
You know, and you can tell by the way they looked at each other, but it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting for some Kentucky guys. It's in our hometown, there's huge statue of Secretariat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great, great movie. Let me ask you this. Who, if you could sit down for dinner, have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who might you pick?
God.
All right. All right, tell me, you'd have to get him out of your pocket, though, first.
Yeah, yeah, maybe I should try that and see if he'll have dinner with me. But if not God, I had the pleasure of having dinner with Coach Wooden.
Oh, wow.
And he was a great baseball man, too. He loved the game. And so it was a thrill for me to sit there and listen to what he had to say, and it was just an unbelievable meeting.
Mm. Wow.
Rod, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. And really, you know, I assumed we were going to talk baseball. I can't thank you enough for opening up and talking about your childhood. And I wanted to say one other thing. Josh, he wouldn't do this, but you were talking about the military and the Marines. And Josh's dad just passed away a couple of months ago, 88 years old.
Sorry to hate that.
But he was a Marine, and he told me recently a story much like you just told. And I wanted to be sure to let you know that we've had some tears over the last couple of months, but they're happy tears. And just thanks for what you said today.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for you guys having me on the show. And if you'd like to do it again, let my son know, and we'll catch up on some more stuff.
That'd be great. It's been an honor. It's been an honor, Mr. Crude. Thank you so much.
Josh, I'm just Rod.
All right. That'd be just tough Rod. For me. That's tough for me. My dad, who was in the Marines, would want me to call you Mr. Carew.
Well,
he's the one that taught me.
Thank you, Rod. We'll definitely do this again. We're going to take you up on it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
We do some stuff on the website, rodcarew.com. And, you know, and then we have a newsletter that comes out once a week. Just keeping up on the game and things like that.
Well, we'll push it out there for you. I didn't even know that. So that's perfect. We'll get it out there. I can't wait for this. This is great. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Josh.
Wow.
That was Rod Carew. We just talked to Rod Carew for an hour.
I mean, legend. Growing up, I mean, Rod Carew was Rod Carew.
Yeah. You know?
And yeah. It's so funny to hear him because you think about these baseball players that bridged the gap. They were heroes of mine at a young age. And then to hear, you know, he's playing an all-star game with Mickey Mantle. And
right.
You're like, what? That's yeah. That close in time. The older you get, you know, it's 80 years isn't that far ago, or 60 or 40. Time becomes more relative. But to hear that just blew me away, to know he was playing an all-star game with those guys.
With Mickey Mantle. He's 19 or 20. He's playing in an all-star game with Mickey Mantle.
It's amazing to hear.
Yeah. And what a life, though. I mean, and him sharing about his father, you know, of course, we had known a little bit about it. We don't know him like that. It's not something you're going to bring up on a basketball podcast. And I mean, just being able to share that, he shared so much good stuff today, just good life stuff.
Well, I think, you know, because he seems such a beautiful soul and led a life with purpose. And I think, you know, like so many people, you hear his life, his early life, his Panama, it gave him perspective for the rest of his life that a lot of us don't get. And so he seems to have just carried that with him his entire life. And he loves the game so much still. And he loves to give back and he loves to talk the game and life in general, you know, to open up like that. Yeah, he seems like a special soul. I really feel honored to have spoken with Rod Carew.
And I think that's the first person, I believe, we'll have to go back. I think that's the first person we've had on the podcast who has actually died and returned.
Yeah.
Isn't that our first?
Yeah.
That is our first.
Let's see.
I mean, we had Stephen, we had Shaq. James Jones. Katie Lang. Jane Lynch has not.
No.
He might be the first dead
might
guy.
Might be the first. We'll have to go check the tape on that. Yeah.
Amazing. All right, buddy. Well, we'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Powered by basketballnews.com.